Hello, everyone. I'm Sierra.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is your weekly dose of wicked.
I don't want a lot for podcastness. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the podcast mystery. I just want you for my own. More than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. Baby, all I want for podcastmas is you. Yeah.
Welcome to day three of podcastmas.
We wish you a merry podcastmas. We wish you a merry podcastmas. Have I already sung that one?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good. We wish you a merry podcastmas.
And a happy podcastmas year.
That doesn't really work.
Why?
Because podcastmas is only the 12 days prior to the 25th.
No, tell your one.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
I didn't know what else to say, okay?
You could have just said Happy New Year.
Yeah, but that's not what it is.
Okay. Anyway, and a wicked new year.
Oh, that would have been good.
That would have been good. And that's why I'm the creative brains here.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Anyway, hope you guys are having a fabulous Friday.
Yeah.
It's
Friday.
It's a Friday. Yep. I hope you guys are having a fabulous Friday and doing lots of fun holiday festive December things. Maybe it's snowy where you are. Maybe it's warm where you are.
Lucky.
Mm-hmm. It's cold here.
Too cold for my liking.
Yep. I came to the South for warmth. And yet here we are, freezing our tushes off.
Multiple of my patients came yesterday with snow on their vehicles.
What?
Yeah.
Where are they coming from? Virginia?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting.
Travel a long way to see me and covered in snow.
That's gross.
Disgusting.
Nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, maybe you live somewhere with snow. Maybe you like it. If so, then you're crazy.
Yeah, maybe a little.
I don't know. Anyway, so it's now the 14th of December.
No, it's the 15th.
It's now the 15th of December. Listen, it's hard to keep up with podcasts, okay? It's a lot going on. It's now the 15th of December, which means that I probably still haven't done any Christmas shopping.
Probably not.
Mm-mm. I'm a procrastinator. I like to go on the 23rd of December.
This year, you're probably going to go on the 20th, though, right?
I hope so. Guess it'll depend. The way that my bank accounts work, you see, is I got checkings and I got a savings. And they're both got no money in them.
That's not just the
kidding.
Saying.
I know, it's not the saying. I was just kidding. Anyway, I don't know. I'm really just not in the spirit, honestly. I'm really just not in the holiday. I'm kind of being a bah humbug. Yeah. You guys should have let me be. Not you guys, the listeners. You guys as in these people in my life, my family. I wanted to put my Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving. I was in the spirit. And you all told me it was too early. And now I'm just like, done. I don't even want to do it. I don't even have my tree up yet.
I actually told you to go ahead.
No.
Yes, I did.
I don't think you did.
I said turkey tastes the same.
I don't think you did, but maybe. I don't know. Everyone told me no, and now I don't even want to do it.
Like, Yeah.
And, yeah.
I don't blame you. Putting up the tree is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And I like to think this is an adult-only podcast, right? You think we got kids on here? We should have. If you're a child and you're listening to this, get off here now.
Yeah, you probably
shouldn't
be. You're
not supposed to be listening to this. This is an explicit podcast for adults only. I put Jacob in charge of the elves. He's really going above and beyond, and I'm not a fan. Last night, did the kids show you?
No.
Or this morning, I should say. This morning, they're hanging from the ceiling in a Jeep. What is he doing?
He's going above and beyond.
No. Our elves do not do that.
Your elves are lazy elves.
Our elves are lazy. They go days without moving. They don't do anything
his
crazy.
His responsibility from now on.
They don't do anything crazy. No, we can't let him be the responsibility. Because you remember that one year he had him drinking Jack.
Oh, yeah.
They were drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels. So, no. He can't actually be in charge of them all the time. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Now he's got them hanging from the ceiling.
How?
He hooked him to the light fixture in the homeschool room. You know how it's like a... Yeah. He hooked him to it. They're like hanging off of it, like driving down the side of it.
Huh. I bet you your kids liked it.
They thought it was the greatest thing ever. And they were like, they're sitting up there by magic. I'm like, actually, there's rubber bands all over it. But yeah, you're right. It's definitely magic.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm like, it just looks really dangerous to me. And not like something we should promote our children to think is okay.
Well, I think it's fine.
Anyway, though, yeah, he's going to have to be in charge of them for the rest of this year because...
And they'll just go back to being lazy next year.
They are lazy. My favorite's when my youngest touches them.
Then they don't move for 3 days.
Yeah, and they have to lay on a couch and recover. I got to get them a little Barbie couch and let them recover. It takes them a long time.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, all right, guys. Well, let's jump into this case. Ashley, what you got prepared for us today?
All right. Our case today is on Rebecca Schaefer. Do you know her? Or know of her?
The name sounds familiar to me, but I don't know.
So this is actually a pretty popular one, so you've probably heard of it, and so has all of our listeners, but
okay.
You know what? I thought it was kind of interesting, so here we are.
Okay.
So Rebecca Schaefer was born on November 6, 1967, to Dana and Benson Schaefer in Eugene, Oregon.
Did you say Dana?
Yeah, Dana. D-A-N-N-A. I think that's Dana.
It's a weird name. Okay.
So is Benson.
Benson?
Yeah.
Benson's from that show my kids watch.
Adventure Time.
Yeah. No. The regular show.
Oh, yeah, the regular show. That's the one with the raccoon.
Mm-hmm. How about now, Benson? They say that all the time. Like,
we probably shouldn't be making fun of people's names, though. It's not very nice.
Oh, I mean, I think it's a fine name. That's what I was saying. It's a fine name from the regular show. You're okay, making fun of names. No. I just thought Dana was an interesting name. I've never heard it before. I'm not making fun of it. No. I think it's interesting. Like, I've literally never heard that name before.
I've never heard the name Benson except for the regular show.
I mean, I hear Benson regularly because it's a regular show. My kids are literally, how about now, Benson? Like, all the time. They literally call me Benson all the time. Leave us alone, Benson! Like, they, I don't know. All the time. They quote the regular show.
Yeah. I don't even know if I've ever watched the regular show.
I have, unfortunately.
Not a fan?
No.
Not for you.
It's not for me. It's kind of weird. What are they, Mordecai and Rigby? Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. It has a lot of interesting names in that show, though, actually. So, yeah. But no, I don't know that I've ever heard Benson outside of the regular show. I've never heard Dana.
No.
I just thought you were being an idiot mispronouncing your name. So, I wasn't making fun of her.
I believe it's Dana. I believe it's D-A-N-N-A.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds about right. Anna. Dana. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, Rebecca was an only child. Her family was pretty well off. She was described to have a big personality and a generous heart. Rebecca found her love of acting very early on. She started with school plays. When she was just 14 years old, she started her career of modeling. She was pretty successful around the Portland area, but she dreamed bigger. So at 16, she moved across the country to New York City to pursue being a high fashion model. But she did have some trouble finding work since she was only 5'7", and that was considered too short for runway modeling.
Yes.
So she decided...
You gotta be tall to be a runway model.
Yeah. Like 6 foot, have long legs.
Yeah.
5'7", not quite there.
I got long legs.
You know how to use them.
I do.
Because she was too short for runway modeling, she decided to start her focus back on her acting career.
Okay.
She then moved to Los Angeles and worked as a waitress while she pursued her dreams. Rebecca quickly landed multiple small supporting roles, one of which was on Guiding Light.
Oh my god, I love Guiding Light! What did she play?
Well, it was in the 80s, so I don't know that we would have seen it.
Well, who'd she play?
I don't remember.
You can't tell me she was on Guiding Light and then not tell me who she played.
Okay, well, I mean, she was on Guiding Light and we never saw the episode because it was in the 80s, so I didn't include the name.
It doesn't matter. It probably was like somebody that was still on Guiding Light when we watched it. They were just grown by that point.
Oh, okay, maybe.
Like Reba or Beth or, you know, one of those people.
Okay, I'm looking it up right now.
Thank you. I mean, I'm not saying she played somebody like Mara. Like, Mara was young.
Right.
Like, I'm just spouting out these names and going, like...
I know, I'm pretty impressed.
You don't remember?
I mean, I remember, like, some of them, but I mean, I was little. She was Mandy Sue Lewiston.
I have no idea who that is.
Sorry. No, it was in 1985.
Well, I just thought maybe it was somebody that would...
Right.
Okay. Anyway, sorry.
So, she was on a lot of small, small roles, supporting roles.
Yeah. I mean, Guiding Light, though.
Right, but she
pretty
was
high, like, in my book.
I mean, yeah.
Even if it was just a supporting role. I loved Guiding Light. Some of the best days of my life were spent sitting on the couch with mom after school, folding laundry, watching Guiding Light.
I know.
At the young age of 5 or 6. I miss Guiding Light.
Yeah, I know. That was a really good show. I really wish that, like, I had all the DVDs.
They don't make them. I've looked. I wanted to buy, like, the box set of Guiding Light, but they don't make it.
It's because it was on for too long.
Well, I mean, because it's a soap opera. It's not even a show. Like, soap operas are not even... Do they even have... I mean, what are soap operas now? What are...
I think Days of Our Lives is still on.
Yeah, and, like, what about... Is General Hospital, I think, is a soap opera?
Yeah, I don't know if that's still on or not.
I don't know. Guiding Light was my jam, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What came on after Guiding Light?
I didn't like it, so I don't remember.
It was... No, it was... What's his name? I was going to say Miguel, but that's not his name. It's Montel.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Montel would come on after Guiding Light?
Yeah. I wasn't a fan of that show.
I liked Montel. I was very much into
it. It was like a talk show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really like talk shows.
Mm-hmm. I do.
So after she started off on the soap opera train, she got a role as the younger sister on My Sister Sam, which was a major TV show in the 80s.
Okay.
Have you ever watched it?
No.
Well, I don't know.
I was born in the 90s. I didn't watch anything from the 80s.
Okay, but like maybe, you know, like we sometimes like to watch old shows, so.
Not that old.
Okay, well, anyway, she was the younger sister.
No offense to anyone born that old, I mean, but no.
Yeah, no.
I would say like probably the oldest show is Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, and that's a pretty old show.
I mean, it is, but like not, it was like 1989, like late 80s.
Okay, well, this was like 85, 87.
Okay. No, I don't say. I don't know that I've ever watched. I don't even know if I've ever heard of that, so no. I'd say Saved by the Bell is probably the oldest show I've ever watched, though.
It was 86 to 88.
Okay.
Was My Sister Sam. She played Patty. So anyways, her career was seeming to really take off, and with that came a lot of fans.
Yes.
She would get a lot of fan mail.
I understand.
Yeah, from a famous Yore.
Uh-huh. Okay. From all the fan mail we get at our P.O. Box, 1142 Cheddar Grove, North Carolina, 28023.
Okay. So she got a lot of fan mail, and she wrote them back.
Okay.
She wrote them back every chance she got. Her family and friends really discouraged her not to do this, but Rebecca said that she really felt like she had to because it was important to her fans. And she was for them. Since she was in Los Angeles with no family of her own there, her co-star, Pam Dauber, let Rebecca live with her during their filming. Pam knew about her writing back to her fans and really told her about how dangerous it was because she previously had a stalker. But Rebecca didn't seem to care. She continued writing back to her fans. And she started receiving numerous letters from the same fan named Robert Barda. Rebecca responded to his letter saying that it was one of the nicest letters she had received. And that really sparked his interest in her.
Mm.
Robert Barda was born July 2nd, 1970. He is one of seven children. He was born in California, and then they moved around a lot until they finally settled down in Arizona.
Okay.
Reports say that Robert was a troubled kid. He was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. When he was 13, he first showed signs of stalking when he stole $140 from his mom's purse to travel to Maine to find an actress named Samantha Smith.
Interesting.
I couldn't find if he ever actually made it to see Samantha Smith, or if he made it to Maine or whatever. I mean, he was 13, trying to go across the country.
I mean, it was like the early 80s, so it's quite possible he could have hitchhiked there.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I couldn't find if he actually made it or not. But Samantha did die in a plane crash shortly after.
Oh, that's no good. I feel like, honestly, though, in the 80s, I mean, how he probably could have made it. Where did you say they were?
They lived in Arizona. He was going to Maine.
I just feel like he could have made it quite a distance before his parents probably even realized he was gone. Because that was like the time frame when they were just like, play outside until the streetlights come on.
Yeah.
Like he could have left in the morning and been halfway to Maine before they even realized he was gone.
Yeah, probably. Just kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But what was he going to do at 13? I mean.
Right.
I say that, but there's plenty of 13-year-old killers, so.
Yeah, that's true. So in 1987, Robert traveled from Tucson, Arizona to Los Angeles, California to meet Rebecca. He showed up at the Warner Brothers set she was working on with flowers and a teddy bear.
Oh.
He told security that he was one of her friends and he needed to see her. Security went and found Rebecca, asked her if she was expecting anyone or if she knew him, and she said no. So they did turn him away. 1 month later, he returned again. This time he had a knife to threaten security to letting him in. But again, security told him to get lost.
Well, yeah.
So he went home and continued writing letters to Rebecca. His obsession faded a little, and he did not return back to Los Angeles until 1989.
Okay. Was she still returning his letters?
I don't know that she returned every one of them, but I know that she, tried to return her fan letters. So it didn't say, like, how many she was returning of his.
Right.
I'm not really sure.
I just wondered if she realized that, like, he was Cuckoo Bananas.
Yeah. I don't know if she even realized that, like, this person that was coming to see her was him.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Because, like, security stopped it. She never saw him.
Right. Well, so I'm wondering. And, like, if she didn't know his name.
Right.
Like, how many fan letters was she replying to?
Right. I don't know.
Did she even put it together? You know.
Right. I don't know. And now it's time for an ad.
Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do.
All right. So, Robert comes back to Los Angeles in 1989. Rebecca Schaefer has played a role in a movie which has included a sex scene.
Oh, scandalous.
Robert is enraged.
Oh.
That Rebecca has become just another Hollywood whore.
Okay, Robert.
That's what he says. So he puts a plan into action.
We realize this is acting, right?
I think he does not.
Okay.
In his mind, she has betrayed him.
Okay.
This woman he doesn't know.
How steamy was the sex scene?
I didn't look at the sex scene. It had a weird title.
I was just wondering.
It was Scenes from the Class Struggle in Beverly Hills.
Never heard of it.
No. It was like a TV movie.
Okay. So probably not that scandalous of a sex scene that if it was a made-for-TV movie.
Right.
Okay. I'm just wondering, like, what was it? Like, full frontal nudity? Like, what's he getting mad about? Because if it was made-for-TV, she probably wasn't even really nude.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, it might have showed her butt.
Okay.
I don't know.
I showed my butt at Walmart not that long
ago. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you did.
Did you forget about that?
Yeah, I did.
I don't know. I don't know if the people on the podcast care to hear this, but I'm going to tell them anyway. I had a horrible experience at Walmart where one of my children decided it would be acceptable to pants me. Oh, God. Yeah, one of my children decided to pants me in the middle of Walmart, and it was a horrible, horrible experience, but I'm just saying.
Okay, but the best part of that was our phone call, where you said, I was like, Sierra, I bet you no one even saw anything. You were like, the whole store saw my butthole. And I was like, no, they didn't, Sierra. You're like, I had to bend down to pick up my pants. Yes, the whole store saw my butthole.
It was mortifying. Like, you don't understand. I caught actually crying.
And I was just laughing at her because I'm an asshole.
It was horrible. A horrible experience.
I'm sure it was a horrible experience.
I don't know why. I don't know what possessed her to think it was okay to do that. And I don't think that she meant to fully pants me. I really don't.
Yeah.
Not that I'm defending her actions, because I was livid.
Well, I'm sure you were.
But I don't think that she meant to completely pants me. But that is what happened. They didn't go to my ankles, but I mean.
Yeah.
Walmart's on my butt. I'm just saying. So.
That's funny.
Anyway.
Okay, so anyways. Robert sees the sex scene. Pissed. Yes. So he puts a plan into action. He hires a private investigator for $250 to find Rebecca's address. The private investigator goes to the DMV, because apparently back then, you could just go to the DMV and get people's addresses, which is cuckoo bananas.
What?
Yeah. It was, like, legal. You could just go to the DMV and be like, hey, let me have this address. And they'd be like, okay, here it is.
That's crazy.
And you would, like, pay, like, $5, $10. And they would just give you the address.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's what this PI did. So he paid him $250 to just go to the DMV. He got chipped a little there.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that if you use that computer in the courthouse, you can get people's addresses, too.
I probably shouldn't tell people this on our stalking episode.
You're right. Never mind. You're right. I'm sorry. Scratch that. Rewind.
Thank you. So after he gets her address, he goes and buys a gun.
Awesome.
Yes. He travels back to Los Angeles. And on July 18th of 1989, Robert goes to Rebecca's apartment. And he has a printed out picture of her and asks the neighbors if they've seen her. And they're like, yeah, she's an actress.
Right.
Of course you know who she is, idiot. Right. But some neighbors confirmed that she lived there. Robert goes up to her door and rings the doorbell. He shows her the letter that she sent him, and they had a short conversation about it. Rebecca cut the conversation short, wished him well, shook his hand, asked him to please not come to her home again.
Yeah. She was just, like, living in an apartment?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I guess, like, she hasn't really, like, taken off. I mean, like, she's starting to, but...
Right.
She's probably not, like, super rich yet.
Well, some... I mean, I don't know. You would think that, like, actors and actresses make lots of money, but...
I guess they really don't.
I guess they don't until, like, they really make it big.
Right.
And then they have to be smart with their money. Because even then, sometimes, like, you got actors and actresses now who are left with nothing.
Right.
Because they make poor financial choices, so.
Right.
And also, this was the 80s, so, I mean, how much was she really getting paid?
Right. And, like, if you think about it, like, the people in Montreal Hill, on their mm-hmm. podcast, they talk about, like, how the whole, like, first year they were living, like, shitholes.
Yeah. And they talk about, too, like, the supporting cast. Right. Was making, there was one part where they were talking about, like, Bevan making $75 a day or something.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like,
screw that. That's right. Crazy. Yeah.
So. And she's not, I mean, she's not, like, the main character. She's, like, a side character.
Right. So she's not making, no.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was known that Rebecca answered the door that day because she had been expecting a new script to be delivered for a big movie that she was ecstatic about.
Okay.
Being a part of. She was getting ready to audition for a part on The Godfather 3.
Oh.
So, I mean, that would have been big if she would have got that.
Mm-hmm.
And then also she had to open the door herself that day because there was a buzzer to her apartment, but it was broken. So if someone rang the doorbell instead of just, like, buzzing to an intercom, she, like, had to go to the door physically to answer it instead of talking back to them.
Okay.
So, after this interaction, Robert left and went to a nearby diner where he had some breakfast. He called his sister on a payphone, and then an hour later, he returned back to Rebecca's house. This time, when she answered the door, she wasn't as nice to him and said, "You're wasting my time." Robert then pulled a gun out from his back and shot her. Robert fled the scene. A neighbor heard the gunshot and sobs from Rebecca. She came and called 911 and sat with her until the ambulance arrived. Rebecca was rushed to a nearby hospital, but was unfortunately pronounced dead 30 minutes after. The police interviewed the neighbors, who didn't really see anything. A couple of people did recall that strange man asking about her, and a description of this man was released. The next day, reports came in from motorists on Interstate 10 that there was a man running through traffic. When the police arrived, the man was running in traffic, yelling that he killed Rebecca Schaefer. He was brought in for questioning, and he immediately confessed. The investigators have on record saying that Robert, when he confessed, he seemed like he was kind of having, like, a mental break. He was kind of manic. He seemed like he hadn't really slept. And he also seemed kind of, like, happy and proud to tell them what happened.
Okay, crazy. Cuckoo bananas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He told them of how he had been writing her letters and showing up at her job for the last 3 years. He was in love with Rebecca, and she chose to become a Hollywood whore, so he had to stop it.
Okay.
He showed up to her house, pulled a gun, and shot Rebecca directly in the heart. He said that the only thing she said was screaming, "Why?" repeatedly. And then she fell over, and he left the scene.
Well, yeah, why?
Yeah.
Like, mind your own business. First of all, dude, you have nothing, like, the hell?
She wrote you back once.
Right. I mean, oh, okay.
Robert did waive a jury trial, so a judge decided his fate. Robert's lawyer argued that he was suffering a mental condition, and that's why he was so obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go for, like, an insanity plea, but that he had a mental defense and couldn't help the necessary intent to commit the crime. A famous psychologist who testified in the Unabomber case and the Dahmer case testified.
Ooh.
About him, his mental condition.
Mm-hmm.
His defense also claimed that a U2 song called Exit drove him to kill her.
Okay.
Because when it played, he became possessed by it. They played the song in the trial, and Robert, like, went under a trance.
Yes.
And started, like, dancing like he had no control.
I now know this case. I recall this. I recall this part.
But, like, the U2 song, I mean, I listened to it. I don't remember it now. But, like... It's not about killing people.
What's it called again? U2 Exit?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's crazy.
I agree.
And a horrible defense.
I agree.
Anyways. So, the prosecution argued that this was premeditated.
Okay.
And therefore, the mental illness claim could not work.
Right. So, who did you say testified from the Unabomber and the Jeffrey Dahmer?
A psychologist.
Okay.
Like, on behalf of Robert.
Okay.
On behalf of his
defense. And they were on the Unabomber case and the Jeffrey Dahmer case.
Yes.
Okay. Completely off subject. But the other day I was at work and I was literally just coming out of the kitchen. As many of you know, I went back to work as a waitress. Mm. I was coming out of the kitchen and all of a sudden I just heard this customer at the bar say, Jeffrey Dahmer! And like, it was the weirdest thing ever. And I was like, I like peed around the corner. And I was like, I don't know that you should really be yelling Jeffrey Dahmer at the bar. And the lady was like, ha, 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 ha. We're on a first date. How long do you keep the security cameras in case I need the footage? And I'm like, that's really not something to joke about either, lady.
Right.
Like, kind of creepy. Anyway. Yeah. Completely off subject, but I mean, I just thought it was really weird. He was yelling Jeffrey Dahmer at the bar.
Yeah. Just kind of weird.
And then she was joking about getting murdered on her first date. Like, let's not speak that into existence, lady.
No, thank you.
Anyway.
So they worked on arguing that it was premeditated.
Yes.
So they discovered.
Which it was, because he went and bought a gun.
Yes. They discovered that because of Robert's mental condition, he couldn't purchase a gun. So he had his brother buy it for him.
Okay.
And he told him that it was for, like, target practice. And so his brother agreed and was like, but you can only use the gun, like, when I'm around.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, of course. Which was not of course.
I don't know that I love that his brother bought a gun for him.
No. I mean, me either, but
I mean, if you asked me to go buy you a gun.
You would.
I would. If Adam and Sterling asked me to go buy them a gun, I would say no.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be, like, why do you want me to buy the gun?
Right. I wouldn't even ask you a question, though. I would just do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I trust you. So, like, if you need me to buy you a gun, I would trust that there's a good reason.
Right.
I don't know. If I asked you to buy me a gun.
I mean, I think I would buy you one.
But would you question me, though?
I don't know. I mean, probably. I don't think I would question you at all. I'd probably be like, why?
I don't think I'd question you at all. I think I'd be like, okay, no problem.
I don't believe
you. Venmo me.
You're pretty nosy.
I don't know. Not when it comes to, like, things like that. Like, if you need me to buy you a gun, shit's about to hit the fan. I don't want to know. Accessory.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't know that I love that, though. Like, his brother knew he couldn't have a gun because of a mental condition and bought him a gun anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
I just gave it to him. I was like, you can only use this when I'm around. No, you should have kept the gun then if that were the case.
Right. Agreed.
Okay.
Also, during the initial interview where Robert confessed, he reenacted the murder. And he pulled a gun in the reenactment from his back. So that means he, like, hid the gun.
Right.
He didn't just, like, openly have it out. Like, he, right. It was premeditated. He had the gun ahead of time, and he hid it before he got there.
Right.
In December of 1991, Robert Bardo was found guilty of first-degree aggravated murder and was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Okay.
In 2007, he was attacked by another inmate, and he was stabbed in prison 11 times.
Oh.
He survived.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And he's currently serving his sentence in a Vennel State prison in California.
Okay.
Interesting fact, Rebecca's case created the very first anti-stalking law, which is crazy because that wasn't until the 90s.
Yeah.
Or late 80s. I'm not sure when they made the law exactly, but...
Right.
She was killed in 89.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was found guilty in 91. So
right.
That's too late for an anti-stalking law.
Yeah, but it's probably still not a great anti-stalking law.
No. I mean, it was the first ever one. And it was in California.
People are still getting stalked, so.
Right.
Yeah.
And it also prompted the DMV to change their policies on requesting addresses.
Good.
Yes, good.
As it should be.
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I do recall that now that you said that about the being in a trance by the song. That's right. What triggered it for me. Yeah, I remember that. And, like, weird.
Right. I don't understand why that song.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Good solid third day of podcast, miss.
Thank you.
Good job. I like it.
All right.
Well, I mean, I didn't like it. It was uncomfortable, but.
Right.
It was a good case.
Yes, uncomfortable for sure, but.
All right.
We'll see you for day four.
We'll see you for day four of podcast, miss, tomorrow.
Bye.
Saturday. The 16th.
Yeah, there you go. Got the dates
right of December. Okay, bye.
Hey everyone, if you like what you heard and you want to support a small podcast, please give us money at
www.patreon.com/weeklydoseofwicked, where you can join one of our four amazing tiers, starting at just a measly $3 a month. That's literally 10 cents a day.
you can join the Slightly Wicked. After that, we've got the Moderately Wicked for just $5 a month, followed by the Awesomely Wicked for $7 a month. And for those high rollers, big ballers, we have the Extraordinarily Wicked. So head on over, check it out. If you like what you see, join it up.
If subscriptions aren't your jam, head on over to
www.buymeacoffee.com/WDOW, where you can give us a one-time donation to buy us a coffee or, you know, like podcasting equipment, which would probably be a better use of our money.
Feel free to give us a follow on
Instagram at weekly_dose_of_wicked, or you can just search Weekly Dose of Wicked and we'll pop up because we're the only ones.
Or you can give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/weeklydoseofwicked.
Or, you know what, you could just do both, because that would be better for us.
For a direct feed of our podcast, please go to
www.weeklydoseofwicked.buzzsprout.com.
Great news, guys. We've made it big time, and you can now listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Yep, yep. Even Pandora. They finally let us in.
Make sure to come back next Wednesday for your
Weekly Dose of Wicked. Ba-dum-psh.